1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 11. Paul says, according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul writing here, writing to Timothy. We saw that kind of the introduction this morning. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm going to preach tonight out of these verses. I'm going to preach on this thought. It's going to be for all of us. Never forget. Never forget. It has nothing to do with my crybaby fit tonight, but never forget. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together tonight? Help us. Challenge us with this truth. We need this truth to be reminded of tonight. So help us, I pray. And Lord, we do pray for those that are sick in our church. We pray for those that are having health problems. We pray for those that the devil's getting a hold of. I've seen it with several. Missing more and more and more, and it just scares me. So Lord, help us to move forward somehow, some way. Help us all to hang on like 99% of our church has this year, despite the setbacks, despite splitting our ministry down to about 20% of what we actually normally do. Help us just to hang on. And if this is the end, and we're getting down to the end, if that's the truth, Lord, help us to hang on until you come back. Help us to be as faithful as we can be. I ask you to help us with this truth tonight out of this passage. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I know you've been standing a while, so it's going to take you 30 seconds or so to get adjusted. So I get a drink while you're doing that. Never forget. Now, let me mention this, that if you get caught at home or whatever, remember that we do the phone call stuff on Sunday night and Wednesday night. If we get to a place where I feel like we have to shut back down some, we will, or social distance where we can only invite half the church or whatever, we'll certainly bring the YouTube back up. I just don't, my parents asked me why, because they do like to watch it. And they said, why are you not doing Wednesday night and Sunday night on YouTube? And I said, you know, I'm just tired of the world knowing the business of the local church. And I'm not talking about not preaching the gospel to the world, but you cover a lot of material, and the lost world doesn't understand a lot of the things of God until they get born again. That's the first reason. And the other reason is Sarah Ogden. That's why, because she texted me this afternoon at lunch, and she said, Dad, looks like Jared's going to get to come with us next weekend. I'd invited him to come next weekend, drive his own car, and spend the weekend here, get to know you, and I know she wants to introduce her man. And so she said, looks like he's going to get to come next weekend. And I just sent her these emojis with all these throw-up faces. I sent it back. And she's like, too dad, too late, Dad. I already watched the preaching video this morning. You said he was a good guy. You said you liked him. You said he was your future son-in-law. Too late. So anyways, that's why we don't allow Sarah in here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I need my privacy, but Lord willing, now if there's a coronavirus outbreak, I'm going to leave my kids there. I'm going to tell them, just stay there, and we'll let you know when it's over with, and I may come join you in the woods there. Anyway, so you might get to meet Jared next Sunday morning or whenever. So the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, as we talked about this morning. He's writing to Timothy, his preacher boy, a young man that traveled with him there in the ministry for a while. At this point, Timothy is the pastor at the church at Ephesus. It says that in verse number 3, and Paul's writing to Timothy, covering a lot of content with Timothy. Tonight, really, I'm going to use this passage where Paul's just kind of talking about himself to challenge us in some areas. Now, we would all agree tonight that the Apostle Paul was greatly used of God. I mean, at the end of your life, you could have his resume, you'd say, wow, God really used me, really allowed me to do some things. We think about the Apostle Paul. He witnessed to kings. We read about that there in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul planted several New Testament churches. The Apostle Paul was used of God. And I realize all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But humanly speaking, the Apostle Paul was used of God to give us 13 or 14. I believe 14. I believe that he wrote the book of Hebrews, but it's neither here nor there because the Holy Spirit's the one that really is the author of all of these books. But God used Paul to write 13 or 14 books of the Bible. So we would all agree tonight that the Apostle Paul was greatly used of God. But we would also agree that Paul was a wicked person before he got born again. A wicked person. The Bible says this about Paul, who was called Saul, in Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul watched as the deacon Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc or devastation of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women. And that word means dragging men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And so the Apostle Paul, while he has a great resume as a child of God, I mean, he was one wicked fella before he got born again. Paul was a walking example of the scripture. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Apostle Paul looked at his old, unsaved life as wasted years, which, by the way, they are wasted years, the years that we spent not living for Christ. Romans 6 talks about those things whereof we are now ashamed. Paul said this about his old life. He said in Philippians 3 and verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. What he's basically saying here is, well, before I got saved, I had all these degrees, I had all these promotions, man, I had the paycheck, I had the education, man, I was something in my church. I mean, I had a big life going on. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, in my eyes, I was blameless. Man, I did what God said to do. But the problem was, he was lost. And he makes this statement about his old life. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, I'm just glad I'm saved. And if I look back to my past life and say, hey, I lost family, I lost friends, I lost a career, I lost a fortune, that's fine, that's great, because I'm just glad that now I'm saved. Paul was one of those Christians, and thank God for these, but he was one of those Christians that when he got born again, he wholly and completely gave his life to Christ. I mean, the day he got saved there in Acts chapter number 9, when he trusted who Christ was, that he was the risen Savior, the first thing Paul said was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I mean, he was in all the way. We know he was because he made statements like Galatians 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, my Christian life is not going to be centered around me. By the way, Christian, it's a good day in your life when you decide your Christian life is not going to be centered around you, but it's going to be centered around Christ. Paul said this in Philippians 1 and verse 21. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so the Apostle Paul certainly was a great Christian. Before he got saved, he was a great sinner, if you will, and just very wicked. But God saved his life, and he jumped in all the way. But while Paul was completely changed at salvation, and while he counted his unsaved years as lost for Christ, I want to say this. Paul never forgot where he came from. He never forgot where he came from. He said that to Timothy there. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for the economy faithful, put him into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Though Paul had a great resume as a child of God, Paul never thought too highly of himself. He said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles." Well, that's the difference between someone in church thinking they're somebody as a member of that church versus a man who has a resume and says, "I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And I love this. He said, "But by the grace of God," we preach on the grace of God this morning. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." He kind of echoed the same attitude in Ephesians 3 and verse 8. He said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had that idea? He said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints." So while Paul certainly was used of God in his Christian life, and while he looked back to the things he lost as an unsaved person, as things that were lost for those things that were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ, and he said those were wasted years, but yet in the back of his mind he kept a humble attitude toward who he was. And there are some things that the Apostle Paul never forgot. And that's my challenge to us tonight, is there are some things that we should never forget. Never forget. Let me give them to you. Number one is this. We're going to find it there in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Number one, never forget where you are. Never forget where you are. I'll explain it. But Paul says this. He talks about where he was in life. He says to Timothy, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for the economy faithful, putting me in the ministry," into the ministry. He says, "I'm very grateful for where I am right now." And I say to us tonight, never forget where you are. Sometimes we need to just stop and remember where we are in life right now and how good God is to us right now. We look to the future and say, "Oh, where am I going to go to college? And who am I going to marry? And how is this going to work out? And when will I retire?" And all the questions maybe you have tonight. Wouldn't it do us good just to not forget where we are right now? Be grateful for your life right now. Be grateful for your God, your Savior, your Bible, your church family, your own family, your job, your house, your health. And the list goes on and on. Let me challenge you tonight to stop sometimes and look around at all of the blessings of God upon your life. We certainly do enough identifying of the negatives in our life, don't we? "Well, I tell you what, it's bad. And I tell you what, this is going on and that's happening." And we have a lot of drama. And we must never forget where we are. By the way, I'm going to give you, I think I have four of these tonight. Once I tell you what we should never forget, at the end I'm going to tell you why we must never forget these things. So number one, never forget where you are. Number two and three are the ones I think we really need to perk up and pay attention to. Number two is this, never forget where you have been or could have been. Never forget where you have been or could have been. There are two classes of people in here. I shouldn't say class of people. I guess that's a poor choice of word. Two categories of people in here tonight. There are some who would say, "Oh, preacher, oh man, when the Lord saved me, He pulled me up out of a ditch. I mean, when the Lord saved me, I was in a mess. I was into this and into that. And my life had been spent in those wasted years that you talk about. That was my life before I got saved." There's another category of people in here tonight. And that's the crowd that as far back as you can remember, you were raised in church. And mom and dad always had you in church. And by the way, it took the same grace of God. It took the same shed blood of Christ to save you as it did the dope addict and the alcoholic and the prisoner and all of those things. It took the same. But if we're not careful, because we who are kind of second generation or third generation, because maybe we've never seen the hog's pen, if we're not careful, and we'll forget how it could have been, if we're not careful, we'll want to go play in that stuff. Never forget where you are. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for the Academy of Faithful putting in the ministry. But then may I say tonight again, never forget where you have been or could have been. He said, I'm not going to forget who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Hey, to those of you tonight that were saved out of a life of sin, and you understand what I'm preaching. We were all born sinners. You realize what I'm preaching tonight. But to those of you that were saved out of a life of sin, never forget the ditch that you were either in or headed towards when the Savior reached down for you. To those that were saved while maybe being raised in a Christian home, may we never forget where we could have been had mom or dad or grandma or grandpa not accepted Christ early on. Well, my dad was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. I mean, he had a job and had a good job. He was the manager at the Wax Museum in Grand Prairie. He ran that. In fact, I think I've told this before, but Kelly Dean that cuts my hair, we realized later that her dad was the man that ran the vending machines at that when my dad was at the Wax Museum, and that Kelly Dean worked there at the Wax Museum in the summers while my dad, it's a small world. That was way up in Grand Prairie. But my dad he got in an accident one time. The only reason he didn't get thrown in jail was because his brother-in-law went and got the beer cans out of the vehicle before they could use them as evidence or whatever. I have no doubt in my mind that if my mom and dad had not been saved, that Carl and Liz Ogden, that so many respect and that name that you respect today, I have no doubt in my mind that in the late 70s they would have been divorced. No doubt in my mind. Mom and dad were in trouble. They were headed that way. I remember as a little kid sitting at a lady's house. Marlene Mackey was her name. And we sat, Shane and I and Sean and I, we sat in her house while the pastor counseled my mom and dad, and that was while he was there in Bible college. Those of you in a rush to get married, listen to me. Marriage is hard. It's hard no matter who you are, no matter who you marry. It's going to be you're going to have to learn to get along, and you're going to have to learn to get over some things, and you have to learn to have fun and not let the pressures of life destroy your love for one another and your concern. So marriage is tough, but I have no doubt in my mind when I look back, I think, well, I've always known church. And Shane's always known church. Now, we've just vaguely early on remember my dad not being in church. But may I say something to you tonight that's kind of ugly? If you blame the fact that your parents didn't get in church till you were 5 years old for your reason for rebelling against God, you're a moron. Well, I tell you, I remember back when Daddy didn't go to church. You were three, dummy. You're just looking for someone to blame for your rebellion. But no doubt the story could be different. My dad was into gambling. I don't know how heavy he was into it. I just know that our table, when I was a little bitty boy, I just remember our table. It was a sandwich table. Some of you probably have had these tables. Hopefully you don't right now, but you flip the lid over and it becomes a poker table. We had that in our house. My mom was a Catholic. That's all you have to say. If she hadn't been saved out of that, man, I might have been an altar boy. That's all you have to say. But in all seriousness, I'm not going to forget what mom and dad were saved out of and take my family right back to it. I thought about, Sarah being able to play this summer for the camp. She'll be home after 7 weeks. And my niece, Shane's oldest daughter, is studying to be a medical missionary. And my nephew going to Commonwealth. I have a video. I was showing some folks after church. My nephew got to play the piano with Gerald Wolfe yesterday, Greater Vision. You ever heard that song, Just One More Soul? Those type of songs. He went to their sound check. He's friends with Rodney Griffin, if you will. He went to their sound check, got to sing one of Rodney Griffin's songs with him on the stage. I have it on my video. I have it on my phone. He sent it to us. And just an unbelievable piano, Devin playing the piano with Gerald Wolfe. I think about my older brother being a preacher. I think about my younger brother being an assistant pastor when he's not in jail. But all of that could be different if the grace and mercy of God had not brought peace to the home of Carl and Liz Ogden.
Amen.
If my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, who's in heaven now, if they had not decided, you know, we're going to be in church with our family, I wouldn't have the wife I have today. Come think of it, I wouldn't have the sister-in-law I have today. This could go either way. We wouldn't have Miss Wagner up here leading these kids and teaching her son how to do the robot dance. We wouldn't have our song leader up here. There's some of you in this church, you get shocked when you find out how related we are. I mean, we got cousins marrying uncles and all kinds of stuff. I'm just joking. You got to go about 3 hours northeast into Arkansas for that part. But sometimes I think we don't realize how much it's affected by just one man or one woman saying we're going to have our family in church. But yet sometimes you get young adults in our church that get married and want to lay out of church and act like somehow it's going to be okay. And I think the biggest problem is they've never seen the ditch. They haven't seen the mess. Never forget where you are. Never forget where you came from or where you could have came from. Third of them is say this. I think that second point is going to have more impact when I give you the if we forget. But I think this is so important. Number three, I see it here in the passage. Never forget who you still are. Look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what you still are, and I still am, a sinner saved by grace. I'm not kidding. I wrote this message on Friday. I had an outline on my phone. I normally will when I'm here, there, and everywhere. I'll lay it out on my phone notes, and then I have to write my stuff out. And so Kelly and Sarah had gone to Walmart there at the camp. Joshua was back with the guys. And so I was at the hotel and I'm writing the message out. Well, she got back later on the evening and she was kind of getting ready for bed. And I turned the TV on and I'm just kind of watching. And then she comes over there and I said, well, I had to get my Bible for the day. And I was joking with her. It was Kenneth Copeland. He just scares you. It says it right there. Okay, I believe you. But I had this message written, and Copeland comes on, and I'm not kidding. He's got some guy with him, and they're having a little Bible study or heretic study or something. And Copeland says this, and be careful about amen and at the wrong part here. Copeland says this. People say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That ain't right. I'm the righteousness of God. Now, we're the righteousness of God. But as soon as he said that, I said, hey, dummy. And I looked at my wife and said, I just wrote this in my sermon. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Never forget who you really are. You and I, we're just sinners saved by grace. Let me give you the fourth one, then we'll get into the why we should not forget. Never forget what you should be. Never forget what you should be. Never forget where you are. Never forget where you were. Never forget who you still are. Never forget what you should be. Look at verse 16. Paul says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus might show forth all longsuffering. Now, Paul was not the first person to ever get saved. But he said, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. For a pattern. Never forget what you should be. You know what we should be? A pattern. You know what we should be? An example to the unbeliever of what Jesus can really do in a person's life. You ever been to Sam's Club shopping? You ever seen, they don't do it anymore, of course, but have you ever seen they have all those different samples? You can go to the different booth and they have a sample. And they're trying to sell you a new kind of cheese or a new kind of pretzel. How many of you have ever seen that before? Are you with me? Okay, it's Sunday night. Y'all can participate. And they want you to try us. Oh, you try this? They want you to try. We'll probably never do that again. So many things are changing in our society now. But and I love it when you watch those kids that go 50 times back to the same booth, you know. Get over there and get lunch. You take that taste. I've been to ice cream shop. I don't know which one it is. It gives you that little spoon and you get to taste flavor so you can see which one you like. Hey, what taste do you leave in the mouth of a lost sinner in regard to Christianity? Good. Never forget what you should be. Let me give you this. If we forget, if we fail to remember, here are the four final thoughts. I'm going to cover all four of those points. If we fail to remember where we are, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me for the account of me faithful, putting me in the ministry, Paul said, I'm so grateful for where I am in life right now. If we fail to remember where we are, stop and count your blessings. If we fail to remember where we are, we'll start complaining about where we want to be. The children of Israel were constantly complaining about where they were and instead of realizing, hey, dummy, you're not in Egypt anymore. You could be a slave to Pharaoh and be doing his work and be under taskmasters doing hard service, but you're complaining because you're a little hungry. You're complaining because you're a little thirsty. You're complaining because you don't know the way. Do you think maybe you should stop and say, hey, I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Time's tough right now, no doubt. But I still thank God for where I am in life, and I still thank God I'm a child of God, and I've got a family, and I've got a church, and God's blessing my life, and God's taking care of me. If we forget. Let me say secondly is this. If we fail to remember where we have been or could have been. Paul said, I was before, who was before, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. If we fail to remember where we once were or where we could have been, then we'll forget how bad our life was, or we'll fail to realize how bad our life could be. Could you just stop for a moment here tonight? And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to draw your attention to a bad place in your life, but could you just stop and think about the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior? Could you just stop and think about where your life was headed? May we never forget where we have been. And for the many of us in here who it was our parents that got saved and kind of got us in church, or grandparents that got us in church, if all of these parents and grandparents and middle-agers tonight and some young adults, if they could get up and testify, and we're not to give glory to the devil by testifying about all the wickedness that we've done. The Bible says in Ephesians we shouldn't even talk about that stuff. I don't believe you have to lay out your past in order to give a testimony to young people. I believe it's adequate enough to say, I tell you what, I was into things that if God had not saved me out of that, my life would be in ruins today. Amen. That if all of you young adults, if all of you teenagers, well, if you just listen for a few minutes, and if we brought a group of people up here to tell you what they came out of, it ought to scare you enough to never even think about the possibility getting yourself out of church. Well, I just can't wait. I'm going to fake it till I make it. I tell you what, you haven't learned that in this church. We don't preach cookie cutter in this church. We don't preach fake it till you make it. We preach give your heart to Christ. We preach give your all to the Lord and do what you do out of a love for Him. But I'm so concerned with young people, or maybe young adults, that will say, well, maybe, you know, maybe our church is hard, and maybe our church is expecting, and maybe this church down here, you know, they go here and they do this and they do that, and I'm afraid if you're not careful, you've never seen the hog's pen. And so you think somehow you're going to stay out of it, but you cannot. The way of transgressors is hard. When you break the law of God, you're going to live a hard life, and before you realize how hard it's gotten, it's going to be so broken it can't be fixed. Yeah, you can crawl back into church and thank God for His forgiveness. But you'll never get rid of the damage that was done. You young ladies can marry a right person in God's timing, You can marry a wrong person and come back into church a year later with the damage that was done. Never forget where you have been or could have been. The Bible says this in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Well, the deceitfulness of sin is what the Bible calls it. And boy, we think we've got it under control, and we think that we can dabble in it a little bit, and we think we can do it just a little bit differently. And you know what I'd say? I'd say if I'm a second generation, third generation Christian, I'd say, man, I've got a goodly heritage. I've got a good name. I'm not going to throw it away. My parents planted something in me. I'm not going to throw it away on a guy. I'm not going to throw it away on a girl. I'm not going to put a career ahead of God. I'm going to have my family in church. As for my daddy's house, we serve the Lord. As for my grandpa's house, we serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I promise you, young people, I promise you, young adults, the world has nothing to offer you. I want to hit on this third one real quick here. If we forget who we are still. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's never forget where we are. Let's quit complaining about and start finding some ways to thank the Lord for where we are in life right now. Let's never forget where we came from or where we could go if we're not careful and we make poor choices. Because the minute we forget, the minute we go back to wallowing in the mire. But hey, let's never forget who we still are. I like that song, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." That's all we are. Sinners saved by grace. When we forget who we still are, we'll become Pharisee in our attitude and entitled in our mentality. God owes me nothing. My local church owes me nothing. It's not the church's privilege that I walk through the door. It's my privilege to walk through the door that Jesus Christ bled and died for. Quit putting your stipulations on, well, that church, and I'll, as long as, and I'll, bless God, I'll withhold my tithe. You're robbing God, not me. And bless God, they're lucky if I, they're fortunate. No, no, you're missing. You've got a wrong perspective. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm glad to have a church home. But when we forget who we are, we'll start thinking we're something. Let's just remember, we're sinners saved by grace. If we forget that, we're going to become Pharisee, like that Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Well, first of all, he wasn't praying to God. Secondly, I think he's praying. I think he's thinking these things. You can have a Pharisaical attitude if you're not careful. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. How pathetic is that? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now listen to me, folks. I appreciate those that tithe. It certainly helps the ministries of the church. And you've taken care of my family over these 20 years. But let me drop something on you. God doesn't need your money. And I tithe and give to missions and bus and all that. But God doesn't need my money. We get to honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings and obey Him. But we've got to get off of this thinking that we're somebody. Man, I've had this conversation over and over again with my wife, and I realize I'm just a preacher out here in the middle of nowhere. I realize that I'm not a hot shot. I'm not one of these. But my dad gives us the name. I know who I am. But folks, listen, I get so tired of the pride in fundamentalism. We can be right and be humble about it.
We can believe the Bible and be humble about it. And I'm watching people even now that are they're having tent services and they're promoting it as, well, this is what old-fashioned Baptists do. And it's like, could we just humble ourselves and say we're having a tent service because we had a corona outbreak and we're forced outside. They won't let us in their building. Can we just be honest and say we're sinners saved by grace trying to navigate a strange world? We just want to stay faithful to God and not try to prove something to other people. Try to somehow, boy. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you about fundamental baptism, but we could be the world's worst. About we have all the answers, our church has all the answers, come to our church. I don't even want to go to a conference anytime soon as a preacher, because I don't want to hear any preacher tell me that somehow they had the answer this year and they figured it out, because none of us have. I'm just talking about a little bit of humility. Guess what? God's preachers need some humility, but God's people need some humility also. And you think that somehow you have it together because you have a baby that's been born for 2 days and now all of a sudden you got it all figured out as a parent? I got a 19 and a 15-year-old. I don't have it all figured out as a parent. If I had to write a book on parenting today, and I believe I have good kids, but if I had to write a book on parenting, I couldn't do it. I would just say, man, the grace of God and having a relationship with your kids and prayer and prayer and prayer and prayer and prayer. But we've got to get rid of the Phariseeism and the pride and remember that we're just sinners saved by grace. Paul, I hope people heard me preach. I hope people heard the Spirit of God. Well, I'll tell you what, how'd that song go tonight? I'm not talking about a little bit of, hey, you did a great job. That's encouraging to hear those things. But, well, I hope they heard me play the piano. I hope they heard me play the instrument. I hope they heard me sing. Well, that's probably one of the best object lessons the bus has ever known. And we're just sinners saved by grace trying to serve our Savior the best we know how. There's no room for Phariseeism in the local church. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. I was raised in a Christian home. Some of you were not raised in a Christian home. You haven't had maybe some training or whatever, but you turn it around for your life and your home and your family. But no one in this building is better than anyone else. But if we forget who we still are, then that's exactly the mindset some people are going to have. If we forget who we still are, we'll cease being empathetic and we'll just start being pathetic. If I remember I'm a sinner saved by grace, I'm going to try to help you the best I can. But if I cease to remember I'm a sinner saved by grace and I start thinking, well, I'm somebody because, you know, I've been in church all my life and I can tell you how to do this and I can tell you how to do that. And then we get upset at that new Christian trying to serve God and they can't measure up and they can't do right. And we get this attitude, then all of a sudden, well, all we've become, we may have all the skills in the world, but 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I've got all that, but I have no charity, I am become as nothing. I'm nothing. I'm not empathetic and caring. I am pathetic as a Christian, as a child of God, as a church member. Let's never forget who we still are. Just sinners saved by grace. I preach hard. I preach truth. And I lay it out and I cover different subjects. But you know what I am? At the end of the day, I'm just a sinner saved by grace who's called to God to preach the Word of God. And when I'm preaching to you, there are other fingers pointing right back at me for the same battles, the same issues, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. If we forget, last one here. If we forget who we should be. Paul said, I got saved for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. If we forget that we as Christians should be an example of what of a difference Christ makes in your life, if we forget that every day, we'll live out our days recklessly. Recklessly. Colossians 4 tells us this in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Never forget what we should be. It ought to be that our personal reputation promotes our personal witness. It ought to be that
that the folks we work around, the folks we... And by the way, if I could just back up for a moment, I'm just about done, but if I could just back up for just a moment, I see some people sometimes that you're real good online with being friends with everybody spiritual, but you can't get along with your own people in your church. That says a lot about your heart right there. That's called faking it. I could be friends online with every preacher in the world and act like, well, I'm somebody. We share scriptures, we share devotions, we share quotes, and they contact me, and they Facebook me. But if I'm a devil to everybody in this room, I am fake as a $3 bill. Fake. So let's be concerned with the world, but first let's be concerned with those in our own church. Third John tells us that Diotrephes likes to have the preeminence. But that Demetrius has a good report of all men. I want to be a Demetrius. I don't want to be a Diotrephes with that attitude. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But we should be. Don't forget what we should be. And that's an example to others. And so when we go out of here tonight, let's walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You have your testimonies. I have my testimonies. And I just there's no reason to not, you can put your foot down, you can take a stand for the right things, but I hope that people around you know that you're a Christian, and I hope that they would darken the doors of this church. I hope that no one ever says, I will not darken the doors of that church because that person goes to that church. And that's a sample. The only sample of Christianity they've ever had is you, and they say there is no way I would go to that church if everyone acts like he does, if everyone acts like she does, if everyone pays their bills like they do, if everyone fails to keep their word like they do. Hey, it ought to be that maybe they hate us for our position, but they shouldn't hate us for our disposition. And it ought to be that folks say, you know what, I don't go to his church. And when you look around, you know, it's like their ladies wear certain stuff. You know the stuff people say. But I tell you what. He's a man that'll look you in the eyes. He's a man that'll keep his word. He treats you right. He's friendly. He takes care of his business. Now, I don't agree with everything maybe he preaches or everything his church stands for, but I tell you what, the person himself, I'd go to his church just because he's a good person. I'd go give it a try once. May it never be said of us. I'd never darken the doors of that church because of that person. Our prayer tonight should be, God, help me never to forget. Our prayer at the altar should be, Lord, help me never to forget where I am in life and to be thankful for everything you've given me. Lord, help me never to forget where I used to be or where I could have been had it not been for the grace of God. Lord, help me tonight never to forget who I still am, just a sinner saved by grace. After 20 years of pastoring and preaching countless sermons and helping people and counseling people and doing weddings and funerals and all the stuff that we do. You know what? Every day I wake up and I put my pants on and I put my pants on the legs of a sinner saved by grace. Lord, help me never to forget what I should be every day. And that is a good example of a believer.